right. If you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to 1 John chapter 4. I went to shake hands down the aisle this morning, and Kenny said, "I can't shake your hand." He said, I had laser on some skin cancers on my hands. I can't shake your hand. I can only give hugs. And so we tried. We got as close as we could. tried our best, yep. Oh, my. I couldn't resist, Ken. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the one who would pay the price for our sins." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to consider the truth of your word. And I pray that through the working of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to people's hearts today through the preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Wednesday of this week, it will be February 14th. And on that day, many of us will be celebrating Valentine's Day. On that day, many of you will be giving and exchanging Valentine's cards and Valentine's candies and maybe Valentine's teddy bears or Valentine's red roses with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know, to express your love for them on this very romantic day. Some of you might wear red on that day. Some of you might take your loved one out to dinner that day as you celebrate this day called Valentine's Day on February 14th. But there are some of you who may not be married or in a relationship with that special someone. You may not have a wife or a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend to celebrate with on Valentine's Day. But yet, you can still have joy on that day just as well as anyone. Because, yes, you may not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but just know this one important fact: you are truly loved by God. You are. You may be divorced or separated or widowed, but just know this one thing: you are still truly loved by God. You may not even have any friends to hang out with or have someone to talk to on Valentine's Day, but despite all of that, you are still loved by God. You see, the devil wants to stress people out just because they may not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend on Valentine's Day. The devil wants to stress them out because they may not be married or they might be divorced or separated or widowed when Valentine's Day comes along. And the devil wants to make them feel less than a blessed man or blessed woman of God just because they may not have a mate or a friend or a companion in their life right now for Valentine's Day. But can I say this? The devil is a liar. We know that. And despite your marital status as a single man or a single woman, you are still loved. You are still a blessed man or woman of God. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, if you're still single, God still loves you, and you are still a blessed man or woman of God. It doesn't matter what race or ethnicity or nationality you may be. If you're single, God still loves you, and you're a blessed man or woman of God. It doesn't matter how much money or education you have. If you're single, God still loves you, and you're still a blessed man or woman of God. It doesn't matter where you live or really what church you go to. If you're still single, God still loves you. You're still a blessed man or woman of God. You see, God doesn't just love people that are married, right? He loves single people as well. And God doesn't just bless those who are married. He blesses single people as well. And yes, you may not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You may not have a husband or wife for Valentine's Day. But just know this one thing. You are still special to the Lord. And the reason you're special is because if your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God. You see, being married or single makes no difference at all when it comes to the love of God, right? He loves all of His children. We are all special to Him. We're special because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto God, who should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're special because we are a saint of God. We're special because we're a new creature in Christ. We're special because we are a friend of Jesus Christ. We're special because we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're special because we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We're special because we are a joint heir of God, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're special because we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We're special because we are more than conquerors through the Lord who loved us. We're special because in Christ we have peace with God. We're special because in Christ Jesus we are made righteous and holy. We're special because in Christ Jesus we are justified by faith. We're special because in Christ Jesus we are free from condemnation. We're special because in Christ Jesus we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and been brought into the kingdom of light. We're special because we have been indwelt and baptized and sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're special because we are a workmanship of God, and we are special because our sins have been forgiven by God, and we have salvation in Christ, and we have eternal life. We are blessed. We're blessed. As the people of God, we are special to Him. We are loved by Him. And you know what? There's nothing that can change that. In Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's a forever love. It does not change. There's nothing that can take it away. There's nothing that can separate us from it. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are blessed and we are loved. Now, since Valentine's Day is coming up this week, and that's the holiday that is associated with love, What I'm going to do this morning is take the letters from the word Valentine's and kind of use it as an acrostic and help us learn some powerful things about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to take the letters in Valentine's and discover some things about Jesus. Now, the first letter, of course, is the letter V. And it reminds us that Jesus is victorious. And the reason he is victorious is because he has all power in his hands. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." He was victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave. And if we trust and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have victory. Victory over our problems, victory over our adverse situation, victory over our disappointments, victory over our sin, victory over our weaknesses, victory over death. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So V is for victory. Jesus is victorious, and if our faith and our trust is in him, we can be victorious as well. Now, the next letter is the letter A. And really, Jesus is many things to us that start with the letter A. According to Revelation 1:8, he is the Almighty. According to Revelation 22:13, Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. According to Hebrews 5:9, Jesus Christ is the author of our eternal salvation. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He's many things that begin with the letter A. And then there's the letter L. And again, he's many things to us that begin with the letter L. According to John 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In John 8:12, he is the light of the world, and he who follows him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. According to Revelation 5:5, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In Acts 10:36, Jesus is the Lord of all. In 1 Corinthians 2:8, he's the Lord of glory. In 1 Timothy 6:15, he is the Lord of lords. Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords. That is the Savior we worship and serve. And then there's the letter E. That reminds us of the word everlasting. Jesus Christ has promised us everlasting life if we believe in him. John 3:16, the most famous verse of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Life that begins the moment that you're saved and continues forever in his presence into eternity. And only Jesus Christ can give that eternal life. Then we come to the letter N. And I'm reminded of the phrase, "no one." Because there is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. The Lord says in Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." There is none else. There's no one like him. There's no one who can provide for us what Jesus has provided for us through the shedding of his blood and his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection back to life 3 days later. There's no one that can provide forgiveness and eternal life like Jesus. He's the only one. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next letter is the letter T. The letter T. And again, Jesus is many things to us that begin with the letter T. According to John 1:9, Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. According to John 14:6, Jesus Christ is the truth. In John 15:1, Jesus Christ is the true vine. You see, Satan is always throwing things in people's faces that are false. False ways of salvation that often look good. Like if you're a church member, you're all set. You're on your way to heaven. Or if you do good works and good deeds, you're all set. You're on your way to heaven. Or if you've practiced some religious ritual like baptism or the Lord's Supper or something like that, you're okay. You're on your way to heaven. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says those are not the way to heaven. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. See, the devil is a liar and the father of it. And Jesus alone is the truth. He's the truth. And that's the message that the people out in the world need to hear. And I challenge you to take that message to them. You know what? The people in this world do not need more religion. They need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what they need. And that is the truth. And that's what we need to be telling the world. Now, the next letter is another N. I think of the word never. According to Hebrews 13:5, Jesus Christ has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us all the time as believers. He's with us everywhere we go. In Matthew 28:20, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You talk about words of hope, words of comfort, words of peace, words of strength. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then we have an E. And I hope you don't mind, but I want to go back to the theme of eternal life again. Because the only way we can find eternal life is in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There is no eternal life outside the Son of God. And then there's the letter S on Valentine's. In Luke 2:11, Jesus is the Savior that was born into this world in Bethlehem. In Luke 1:35, Jesus is the Son of God, Savior and Son of God. You will never hear two more important truths than that. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. And then last but not least, when we look at the word day, Valentine's Day, the word day reminds us that if we know Christ as our Savior, every day is a day of rejoicing in the Lord. With Christ in your heart and your sins forgiven and peace with God and having heaven as your eternal destination, you can say, as David said in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Because Jesus is victorious, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus is almighty and the Alpha and Omega, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the light of the world, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus is the one who grants us everlasting life when we believe in him, we can rejoice and be glad. Because there's no one like the Lord Jesus, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus is our true vine, we can rejoice and be glad. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, we can rejoice and be glad. Because Jesus is our eternal God, we can rejoice and be glad. And because Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, we can rejoice and be glad. On February 14th, people all over the world will be expressing their love to their loved ones. But no matter what you give your loved one on February 14th, just remember that God gave the greatest Valentine's gift ever to the world. And that gift was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says here in our opening text, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Christ is the greatest Valentine's gift ever, ever given to the world. And I say, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if there might be someone here this morning who would say, "Pastor, I've heard you talk about all these wonderful things about Jesus, but I don't know him in my heart. I don't really have a personal relationship with him. I can't remember a time when I prayed and I received him into my heart as my Savior to forgive my sins and to give me eternal life and make me a child of God and give me a home in heaven. I can't remember doing that, but I want to. I want to." And if that's your situation this morning, then as your pastor, I want to help you. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, a prayer of invitation, a prayer of inviting Christ into your heart. But I do have to tell you two things before that. First of all, let me say, you don't have to pray out loud when you pray with me, although you can if you want to. It would not bother me in the least. But you don't have to pray out loud, because he can hear the words as they come from your heart. But the second thing is the most important, and that is you have to believe what you pray. Because receiving Christ, becoming a Christian, is not just a matter of repeating a few words after the pastor. This is not some magical formula. You've got to believe what you pray. It's faith that makes all the difference. But if you'd like to pray to receive Christ, pray along with me. "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve the penalty for sin, which is hell. But I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again so that I could have eternal life and a home in heaven. I now turn from my sin and I put my trust in you and you alone for my salvation. Please come into my heart and be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for making me one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, everybody, keep your head bowed. Let me just say, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning and you received Christ for the first time, would you make sure you see me at the front door and shake my hand and let me know? Because I want to be the first to welcome you into the family of God. I want to be the first to say, welcome. We're so glad to have you as part of God's family. And I want to give you a word of encouragement as you start your newfound walk with the Lord. But I want to say one more thing this morning to those who are believers. I wonder if there might be somebody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I'm a believer, and I've experienced all those wonderful things about Jesus that you preached about. But would you pray for me that I would be more bold and more courageous in telling others about you? I wonder if there might be anybody who just slipped their hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out. Just say, Pastor, would you pray that I'd be more bold and more courageous in my witness in telling others? Thank you. Thank you for all of those hands. So let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for saving us, cleansing us from our sin, and giving us eternal life. But Lord, we need your help. We need you to help us to be more bold and more courageous in telling others about your love and your life-changing power. Help us, Lord, to never be ashamed of the gospel, and help us never to be afraid to open up our mouths and tell others about you and what you've done in our lives and what you can do in theirs. Help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors for you. Lord, fill us with love and compassion for the lost, and give us a passion, a burning desire to lead people to you. Help us, Lord, to be a bold witness for you so that others can come to know you in their heart the way we know you in our heart as Savior, Lord, Master, and King. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.